Section 5, Messianic Profile Number 3, Messiah the Shepherd. I'd like to give you some of my conclusions. I have to ask you now, who is your shepherd? Who is your spiritual overseer? I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, heart-to-heart matters, what is it that's overseeing you and leading you, and where's that leading you to? Is it the general notion of God? You know, many today would say that, you know, I believe there's a God. I'm just not sure what that God is. You know, I believe in him, the general notion of God. There's something beyond this. There's something greater. There must be some purpose. There must be some order. There must be something to this. But it's just that general concept, just that general notion. So then, if that's what's overseeing you, where's that oversight leading you? For other people, it's an entirely, okay, well, we know it's not just a general notion of God. It's a God. It is a well-defined God, but it's another God, a God other than Jehovah, you know. Maybe this God has created a world of illusion. It's all illusion. And in order to escape this illusion or this deception, whatever it is, one has to concentrate. One has to meditate on nothingness. You have to just separate yourself from this existence here. Get to the nothingness before you can find what lies beyond that nothingness. Or maybe it's a God of terror, you know, where we are the followers of this mighty God, and this is our land, and if you don't follow our definition of God and our religion and don't submit yourself to us and our religion, well, then this God of terror is going to rain down on you, and is gonna, you know, maybe that's what... So if that's the oversight, you know, if that's your shepherd, where's it leading you to? Maybe it's just the overall notion of religion. Okay, yeah, there's a God and there's something. So the God's the Catholic Church or the Catholic religion or the Protestant religion or something like that. God's really just, you know, the ritual of it, the going to church or the cathedral or temple every, you know, once a week. And it's the community, and it's just, I just feel better when I'm in that community. I just feel better when I'm in that presence. I feel a calming by the legalism or the ritual or the, you know, the incense or the icons or the, you know, that kind of thing. That's, you know, yeah, I believe in the general notion of God, but, you know, my overseer is really just all the artifacts of religion. The relics of religion, the icons of religion, the rituals of religion. Okay, so that's your oversight, that's your overseer, that's your shepherd. Where's that leading you to? Well, maybe you say, well, screw all that. I've seen what religion can do. I've seen what, you know, belief in other gods can do, and the terror of other gods and the whole thing. You know, there's not really scientific evidence or, you know, that kind of, so maybe your overseer now is government. Maybe it's, you know, the American or the Western forms of government, or maybe it's the Eastern forms of government, or maybe it's communism, or maybe it's socialism, economics, capitalism, that kind of thing, you know. And maybe you say, well, screw all that. You know, I'm my own overseer, self. I've seen what government can do. Even though, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of government, whether it's capitalism or whether it's socialism, whether it's communism or whether it's democracy or whatever, they all have their problems. They all have their issues. They're all run by men. They're all, you know, run by selfish men, corrupt men, there's all, you know, how do you get away from it? So you put it upon yourself? Where does that get you? Where does that lead you? You're just as corrupt as any of these notions of God or other gods or religions or governments. Just as corrupt as any of them, and yet it's you. You want to have the final say, the final oversight and everything. Thing is, you can't get away from shepherd. Jesus put it another way, master. You're either, you know, this man's master or that man's master. There's no middle ground. Even though we'd want it to be ourselves, right? We're reliant upon, you know, the confines and restrictions of government or economy, or I mean, we, in us being our own shepherd, we have to rely on a greater shepherd than us to keep other people out of our business and keep ourselves, you know, with our own benefits and rights and our own entitlements and stuff like that. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. And I'll tell you why. And I'll use this Psalm 23 as my guide. I'll just illustrate what I mean by using David's words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The sacrifice of Messiah, that lamb and servant, suffering servant, is all sufficient. Sin causing death is being transferred onto him, right? And transferred or lifted. And then his innocence or his righteousness is imputed upon us. That's the importance. That's why to qualify as shepherd, Messiah had to qualify as lamb and suffering servant. Because it's so important. Transfer the death that's upon our spirits. And lift that off and then place over top that the innocence or righteousness, impute the righteousness upon the formerly dead soul there. All right, so now that's the suffering servant, the sacrifice of Messiah. Now the reign of Messiah, the kingly role, right, is all sufficient. Having been restored to the right-hand throne of judgment, ruling over now cleansed and appreciative born-again hearts and all creation with power and glory and majesty eternally. See how important that qualification is? He can do that because of who he is and what he's been established by the Father to be. Now he can do that. And then the leading role of Messiah, the shepherd role, because of this, the leading us through, now that we've been, you know, the sin death has been transferred onto him and lifted, now that the innocence and righteousness, and now that we've been quickened, regenerated in our soul, now that we're born again, right? So now he can shepherd us through the remaining section of this valley of the shadow of death. And his shepherding in this is all sufficient. He is all sufficient. There is no lack. There is no want. Nothing I have to supply. Oh, I only have to follow it. Verse 2, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. I'm explaining to you why Jehovah is my shepherd. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. All right? Not only is my soul spirit quickened now, it is fed on the greenest of all grasses and the purest of living waters. Fed to the point of a peace, a personal peace, here, me, with God. How much I've needed and wanted for that. Now there's that peace with God and peace with life in general. Therefore, a complete spiritual satisfaction and rest. I don't find that in these other forms of shepherd. I only find it in this form of shepherd. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't have much of a name's sake. He's not doing it for my name's sake. I can tell you that. He's not that kind of shepherd. Just as my shepherd gave himself over to be shepherded in his life by Jehovah, I give myself over to him. The journey from here to there is hard and long. Yet with each new day in him, I'm restored. I do not determine which path leads to righteousness. You know, what's right in my own eyes. What's right in my own eyes is to drift off and go over towards the cliff over there and eat on some of those wild weeds over there and have a sore tummy. Faint and fall down the cliff. That's the paths of my righteousness. I follow his path. His path has been tested and proven in his own life to be right for my safe passage. He's taken that path and he's followed it, and it followed it to its conclusion to the right-hand throne of God for him. Now he's coming back, and now it's my safe passage. 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've yet to escape this world. In this world there remains plenty of evil. The fear of evil is not my shepherd, though. What on earth could men do to me that would separate me from the love of my shepherd? What could they do that they haven't already done to my shepherd? That he wouldn't be right there with me, leading me back out from it? Neither am I above correction either. Oh boy, how that's true. With his reproof, I might feel embarrassed about myself. Not embarrassed for him, because he's right. And there's a comfort knowing that he's not abandoned me. Yeah, I've done wrong here, but he's not abandoned me. He hasn't given any of this up. Nor has he corrected me out of meanness. He's not a madman. He's a loving shepherd. Verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. There's a big event upcoming. The victor over heaven and earth is to be married to his bride. And there's a place at one of those tables being set for me. Many people have been invited. Most will not accept this invitation. Few then will be chosen. I normally do not have enemies. You know, I consider myself many times my own worst enemy. You know? I have people I get upset with, but I don't consider them enemies. The few that I might have, I've been commanded to love even them. My true enemies are the enemies of the Lord. Not even my love for them in Christ can change them, so it seems. They say that it is God that is unfair and judgmental. I say, hey, it's his wedding. A wedding that for you yourself, you've chosen not to attend. Is it you that is not fair and judgmental? Well, I'm sorry. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like my Lord, it doesn't matter what the others say about me or do to me. I am with my shepherd, my good shepherd. I am part of his flock. And his sheep know his voice. We go where he leads. Not that it's easy. Not that it doesn't come with challenges that I will have to depend upon his all-sufficiency to get through. Easy is not what it's all about. It's about being there with him and the goodness that follows him. Then there is the house of the Lord forever. That, brothers and sisters, is our ultimate destination. Having been quickened, having been adopted, having been guided on a long, arduous journey through a most dangerous and fearful place, taught to rely upon another man's all-sufficiency, having attended this man's glorious victory and wedding feast. Now we are brought into the mansion that this Lord and Savior, King of Kings, Shepherd of Shepherds, has been all this time preparing for us. Praise God! So, who is your shepherd? Now, it might be easier for us here just to settle in on the general notion of God. Where does that lead us? It might be easier to settle in on the relics of religion. Where does that lead us? Might be easier just to settle on the shepherding or oversight of government. Look back on the Old Testament. Yeah, it's about the history of Israel, but it's the history of mankind. Those kings of Israel were just like the kings of other nations. You know, you have a few good ones here and there. Here and there is not good enough if you're a shepherd. You know, same with religion. The priests of Israel, the Levites. That, yeah, it's the history of Israel there, and you wonder where they're at. All this going on with kings, and all this going on with false prophets, and all this the people wanting to leave, wanting to be captive almost, you know? Saying that it's the religion and the government of Israel that, you know, is causing us this problem. It's a confounding mess. Is this what our shepherd is? It's what our shepherd's been over and over and over and over and over and over again. Or we've given it, handed it over to another man, or we've handed it over to ourselves. And what it all comes down to, Ezekiel is right. There's no shepherd to be found. My shepherd is the seed of David. The one shepherd Jehovah promised Israel through Ezekiel, there in Ezekiel 34. You read it. One shepherd. He's the prophet promised to Moses that even Moses needed to listen to. He's the head-crushing seed promised Adam and Eve. Have all these exceeding great and precious promises. It's a covenant. These promises are a covenant, an unconditional covenant, going a long, long way back. Oh, there are other shepherds that will be neglecting to tell you this. Shepherds that will tell you that the promised shepherd is late, yet to come. Yeah? About 2,100, 2,200 years late, according to prophecy. There are shepherds that will tell you that for now, they are your shepherds. To trust where they are leading you. Well, look at the history, friends. Where have they led you? Nowhere. Circles. Dispersed and scattered and prey to the wild beasts, or onto their warm and cozy fire and spit. Dare they speak this shepherd's name? What is this shepherd's name? You know it. Jesus. Because Jehovah was Jesus' shepherd and led him successfully through the valley of the shadow of death, through his sacrificial lamb role, and through to his kingly right-hand throne role. Now, that same Jesus qualifies to be our shepherd, restoring us back to his Father's good, good pasture. This is Jesus, and it can be no other. The Lord Jehovah has established Jesus to be my shepherd. Therefore, because of that, I shall not want.